Beautiful, Donna, and thank you for gathering us with that lovely music this morning. Good morning, all of you. Welcome and congratulations. You are the best, the blessed few whose names shall be written in the book of life. Who knew that today was the day? And you came. So what a blessing it is to be with you here today. And we pray for the safety of everybody who's out in this weather. And people who are traveling, we have women in retreat, we have kids on retreat at Camp Chrysalis, we've got a lot of people out and about, so we pray for their safety and well-being. It's good to be with you in this place of peace as we bring our Lent series, Wilderness Journeys, to something of a culmination today. It actually is just preparatory once again for what is coming next, but today we focus on something that is a little challenging, and that a lot of people struggle with, and it is this sense of God's absence in the midst of trial. It's called the dark night of the soul, and we'll be looking at that today as a part of our worship. As we start today, we take the opportunity to level ourselves with one another and with God. I invite you to stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Pray with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we might walk in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear the good news this day. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflicts, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, to be thine.
The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion and grace, be with us in times of spiritual desert and isolation. Be our guide and our salvation, and lead us forth into the light once more. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our readings.
A reading from Genesis. The same night, he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping again because of the hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. And the word was with God.
And the word was God.
Psalm 88 will be sung.
O Lord God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me?
A reading from Acts. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And the word was with God.
The word was God.
Please stand as you are able for the gospel.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 26th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved, agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here, stay awake with me." Going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I invite our youngins to come up.
We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God.
What a blessing to be with you today. I know that this is a challenging day to get up and make the swim to church, but I'm sure glad that you did it. We are always glad to see you and be with you in worship. And Oliver's smile is worth the whole trip. We're talking today about times when it feels like God is not around. And that's an interesting thing to think about, because we believe that God is everywhere. God is with us. God is present with us in love and grace all the time. And yet sometimes, you may not have experienced this that much, but sometimes we feel like God may be absent, distant, like kind of far away. And it just reminds me that I like singing songs that remind me of how good God is and how present God is all the time. And there's one that we've sung before that I thought we might try today. It goes like this. I want to walk with Jesus. Very good. I want to serve like Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Teach me to love like him. That's a song that I can sing anywhere, anytime, and it reminds me that the one that I follow is God's gift to the whole world, Jesus. The one that teaches us how to serve and care for one another. The one that shines light into our lives. The one that shows us what God's love is all about. Is right there. And sometimes it takes me reminding me to get back in step with him. So I sing, I wanna walk with Jesus. I want to serve like Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Awesome. Teach me to love like Him. Teach me to love like Him. And you know something? God is always faithful to answer that prayer. The more we pray for God, the more God we get. Amen? Thank you for coming up and being a part of worship today. And our sermon today will be a little somber, but there's good news at the end, always. Amen? Blessings to you. You can go back and sit with your folks now. Glad to have you here. Flotation devices are welcome in church. It's a challenging notion to think that, based on Scripture, Jesus experiences what it is like to be separated from God. Jesus experiences God's absence. And our long journey in the wilderness during this Lent time has really brought us to this place. We've looked at the ways Lent wilderness takes us out of the usual and the predictable. We've looked at ways that it tests and tries us. We've looked at ways that God seeks to call us to a dependence on God for our very lives, for our sustenance. We've looked at a lot of things that happen in the wilderness, ways that are refining as well as challenging, ways that are joyful and celebratory as well as struggle and hard work. All of this has taken place in this wilderness journey. But today we come to a place, perhaps the deepest part of the desert, perhaps the place of ultimate transformation in the wilderness. It's the place where what is going to change in us changes. And this is told in stories throughout Scripture. This is told in stories in lots of people's lives. And I think as we talk more about it, you'll get a sense of what we're talking about when we talk about the dark night of the soul. It's been written about in those terms since medieval times. And these were Catholic mystics, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, people who wrote about this experience of profound transformation, but that seemed to happen almost in a vacuum, almost in such a depth that they referred to it as a dark night. No light shines, no sun breaks through. This is a place of unmaking, of undoing. And this is the desert work that the wilderness does. Everyone has experienced this, not only the medieval writers and the mystics that talked about this dark night, everyone from Martin Luther on forward into our time have talked about what it is to experience a sense of God's absence, as though we are suddenly and entirely isolated and alone. This is not in a physical sense. This is a spiritual journey and a spiritual transformation that's being talked about here, because this can happen in a crowd as easily as it can happen when we're alone. It's a time and a place in life and in our spiritual journey in which God is doing profound work, even when we can't sense God's presence at all. It's the power to change us and the power to transform us that we talk about when we talk about the dark night of the soul. Been a part of human experience as long as we have been human. It's the overarching story of Scripture. When we think about it, this exodus doesn't bring the people out and drop them straight into the midst of prosperity. This exodus journey just begins with the freedom from enslavement. Just as soon as they are free, They find themselves in a wilderness. What now will we do with this new freedom? How then shall we live is the question Luther's always asking. And so they struggle in the desert. They're forced, like we said, they're forced to rely entirely on God for their sustenance, for their well-being, for their direction, and for the wisdom and teaching that God is seeking to impart in this place. An entire generation dies out in this experience of the dark night. We've experienced this, you and I. We both have. We all have. It's those times when we are at odds with ourselves and with the entire world. Nothing seems to be right. Everything seems to be disjointed. It could be precipitated by any number of events or by nothing at all. We suddenly find ourselves in a place where nothing is making sense. Nothing seems to be working the way that we want it to. And what has been, seems to be passing away, and yet nothing seems to be taking its place. You may not have been in this place before, but I suspect that you have. I have, and many times. And it can be an agonizing place to be. I recall dark nights as I thought about what it would take for me to follow what I thought was really my calling in life. After years of professional work, after years of adulthood, suddenly getting a sense, suddenly getting a vision of where my life was supposed to be and understanding and coming to grips with the fact that it was not there. It was someplace else entirely. And thinking about what it was going to take to respond to a growing sense of call to ministry, to pastoral ministry in the church, and thinking about the sheer impossibility of that. I had young girls coming up. They were going to finish high school and be going to college themselves. I had a wife who was working but was largely dependent on me and the income that I was bringing into our home. And here I am talking about completely retooling myself and heading an entirely new direction vocationally. And all I could see was a brick wall. And I experienced a profound dark night of the soul because it seemed as though what I felt called to and what I dreamed and viewed as the future was an absolute impossibility. And you recognize these times in life. You tend to wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it, not able to sleep anymore. The day has begun, and yet it's the middle of the night. And your mind gets going and it won't stop, because it's thinking about all of these possibilities and all of these challenges and all these obstacles that it needs to overcome. Somehow on our own power, we're going to make all this happen. F. Scott Fitzgerald, the writer, says that in the long, dark night of the soul, it's always 3 a.m., which is a wonderful way of understanding that place of anxiousness and unfulfilledness, unshaped, unformedness. And I think it feels that way because this is the place where in the desert journey, where in the wilderness experience, we are undone. We come to the end of ourselves. God has brought us here. God has brought us here purposefully. Perhaps we can see that purpose, perhaps we can't. But God has brought us here just the same. And yet, it seems that God is far away. It seems that God is absent. The Bible is filled with stories of dark nights. Adam and Eve hiding from God in the garden. Moses struggling to lead God's people, dealing with the glow that is fading from his face. The prophets running for their lives. We've read about several of them in the course of this journey. Lord, I am the last one being faithful to you, and now they're out to get me. Just kill me. Take me now. Jacob, in our reading today, wrestling all night with a man, Scripture says. This has been interpreted 8 ways from Sunday. Demon, God's self, an angel, the pre-incarnate Jesus, People have speculated about who and what Jacob is wrestling with in this all-night struggle. And yet, I have a sense that the one that Jacob is wrestling with is Jacob. All night long, refusing to let go, he has this incredible tenacity, and he stays in the fight at literally the cost of his own wounding. He is never the same again. But he refuses to let go until blessing flows. I will not let you go until you bless me. And so he's blessed. He struggles all night with a man. Saul of Tarsus, in our reading today as well. Somebody whose entire life was patterned out for him. Someone who felt probably the most profound religious zeal of anyone in Scripture. He was absolutely convicted of his rightness and absolutely committed to his task. And he gets completely knocked flat. He experiences the dark night as he lies with eyes, yet eyes that don't see, eyes that don't understand or comprehend, until in the ministry of another, he is given an entirely new vision of life and his place in it. This is the profound unmaking and reconfiguring that goes on in the dark night. But this problem of God's absence, we hear it in the Psalms, we hear it in our psalm for today. You have put me in the depths of the pit, the regions dark and deep. There's 3 a.m. for you, with your eyes wide open, wrestling with whatever. But, O Lord, I cry out to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? We say it in our blessing. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And here is one who in the depths of the dark night cannot find God anywhere. And it feels as though God's face has been turned away. Psalms are full of it. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Have we not experienced this? How can this happen as we look at the news once more? How could this happen? How could God let this happen? Profound theological question there. In the morning, my prayer comes before you, O Lord, do not cast me off. Why do you hide your face from me? The same lament throughout the Psalms. It's all over. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I shall be like those who go down to the pit. Jesus' lament from the cross. My sense, and the sense of many others, very likely praying the 22nd Psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus says. To be forsaken is to be abandoned, rejected, cast aside, put out of knowing. Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning, my God, I cry by day, but you don't answer, and by night, but find no rest. There is that agitated anxiousness that robs us of sleep and any kind of contentment or balance in mind and spirit. Luther wrestled mightily with this. For as overt and intentional and directed as he was in all of his teaching and preaching, in all of his writing, in the things that he did and said as he went about this business of reforming the church, he dealt powerfully and poignantly with what he called Deus absconditus, the hidden face of God. He'd cry out in the words of the psalmist, my God, where are you? Why have you hidden your face from me? Luther, wrestling with the hiddenness of God. We know that Mother Teresa, from her letters which were published after her demise, struggled with this all her life long. In all of the work that she did in Calcutta, in all of the work that she did with the poor and the dying, she struggled with this sense of God's absence and longed for this sense of presence and fullness that she could only find in God. The dark night is not a one-and-done experience. It's something that happens to us from time to time. And it takes us really to the very limits of ourselves. Now, what we're not talking about here, and we've got to be careful to understand this, we are not talking about depression. Although depressive features can attend dark night experiences and these extreme disruptions in our psyche and in ourselves, depression is a real thing. It is a diagnosable and treatable condition. So dark night is not to be confused with clinical depression. We've got to be very careful about that. Nor is dark night a stress disorder related to trauma. I hear it talked about in this way, that something terrible or cataclysmic happens in somebody's life, and they're thrust into the dark night. No. This is stress disorder related to a severe trauma in life, which again is recognizable, diagnosable, and treatable by professionals. So we've got to be careful about these ideas of trauma and depression always characterizing this. We could be in the high flow of life and find ourselves in the midst of a dark night and thinking that we've crossed some sort of threshold, but what's new and coming is yet to be in view. There is good news in this. There is a light that comes after this darkness. I think of dark nights almost as shedding of skin. We see it in snakes. Suddenly a snake just kind of shrinks within its outer shell. And I can't imagine what that feels like. I don't want to go there, but I have a sense that that's something of the anxiousness and the painfulness of dark night experiences, when something new is coming and something old is going, but neither has fully come to pass. But a shedding of the old skin reveals a newness beneath. It's a new birth. It's a rebirth. In some ways, it's a resurrection. Dark nights can be that way. There is this story that we have traced through the scriptures of dying and rising, this continual experience of dying to what is old and rising in new birth. Jesus is calling it forth in us. Jesus is calling it forth in all the followers of his time, saying God's kingdom is seeking to break into the world. We must die to meet that. We must die to what is old and be raised anew. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven, he says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, born from above. So there is this birth pang, there is this trauma or travail of birth that happens. It's the darkness of the Good Friday tenebrae before the glory of the Easter resurrection. Joseph Campbell, wonderful teacher, writer, professor, wrote about this, studied the dark night as it occurs, not only in Christian tradition, but in most of the other faith traditions as well. They have some description, a manifestation of this experience. He says, the dark night of the soul comes just before revelation. When everything is lost and all seems darkness, then comes the new life and all that is needed to live into it. Dark nights reveal themselves as threshold experiences, that wrestling in the dark. And who better to attest to it than Job? Beleaguered, beset Job. If I go forward, he is not there. Who's he? God. If I go forward, he's not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him, or to the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. Deus absconditus. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. But, Job says, he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I've kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured in my heart the words of his mouth. Job has held on in what we know to be the entire dismantling and destruction of his life. He has survived, but just. And yet he says, even in the midst of all of that, I hold to the one who is the giver of life, and I know that he knows the journey that I'm on. I know he knows the path that I take. And whether I can see him or sense his presence or not, I know that he is with me. I believe, as the psalmist will say, that I shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The dark night reminds us it's always darkest just before dawn. Dark night is a twilight place where night is giving way, the new light of a new day is coming, and we must hold on and hold to faith and hold to the knowledge and the trust that we have in the one who is faithful. When God seems farthest away, when God seems absent, we come to discover that God is most vitally present, closer than our own breathing. Luther says this: God's entire divine nature is wholly and entirely in all creatures, more deeply, more inwardly, more present than the creature is to itself. This is what sustains us and invites us into what is new. Amen.
Beyond our sorrow. saw your way of healing. Spirit of compassion, fill our hearts. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow.
Please stand as you are able as we continue with our profession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As a community of faith, we come together in prayer for each other and for the world. Let us pray. God of all, you are always and forever with us. You care for your children no matter their situations. You never give up on us, and we praise you for your love and faithfulness. Thank you. Hear us, O God. God of all, you never abandon your children, even in our darkest moments. Today we pray for those who are alone or lonely. We pray for those who feel left out or unaccepted. We pray for those who feel they have nowhere to turn for help. And we pray for those whose lives have been turned upside down because of circumstances beyond their control. Lord, we ask that you put us in the path of those who need some lightness in their dark times. Be with us and give us the words and actions that we need to be your hands and feet in this world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all, during times of illness or loss, we often don't know where to turn for help. Let our prayers be that first step. Today we lift up Keith Krunk and Steve Kikta, Tina Ross, Kurt Reach, Jordan Davis, Ed Vrana, Sam Collins, Danny Santos, Fred Dutton, Lisa McNeely, George Timmons, Shirley Shod, Wayne Jordan, Jerry Smock, Walid Bacon. We pray for Lori and Carl Schattenberg and all the family and friends of Lori's mom, Lois Bramble, at her passing from this life. We pray for the upper elementary kids and their sponsors traveling home from Camp Chrysalis today. May they be safe in their traveling. We pray for the women of Abiding Love who have gathered in retreat this weekend at Camp Lone Star. May they also be safe on their way home. And we pray for all who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, and for all victims of disasters and human failings. Hear us, O God. God of all, inspire the work of our partner Austin City Lutheran congregations and surrounding faith communities. Today we remember the people and mission of Salem Lutheran Church in Austin. And bless the ministry of David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City and all the people who serve with the ELCA Global Missions. And we pray for New Life Lutheran Church in Dripping Springs, that their services are not interrupted in this day of rain. And Lord, empower all the people in the community of Abiding Love today. And we lift up Kurt, Gisela, and Audrey Armstrong, Christine, Stephen, Mary Margaret, and Kate Anthony, Pat and Gary Andrews, Denise and Tim Anderson, Brian, Brooke, Stella, and Phoebe Anderson. Hear us, O God. God of all, be with us and all who go through the darkness and isolation. Help us to cling to the light of Christ, leading us into a brighter day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our offerings.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hard. There was so much fun left to do. So much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God. And I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God. And I will ever praise you. And I will see you in the morning. And I will learn to walk in your ways.
Stand as you are able. And let's pray together. God of the wilderness, we make these offerings in gratitude for your guidance and blessing on our way. We make these offerings in faith, trusting in your provision for the journey. We make these offerings in hope. And with these offerings, we offer ourselves. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With all who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it and he shares it out with us, saying, take and eat. This bread is my body, broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so remembering me. And in the same way, he takes a cup, blessing it and giving thanks. He shares it out with us, saying, take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me. And so we remember, and we pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. We commune today with bread that has been prepared for this purpose by our confirmation class. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians and communion servers forward. The ushers will guide you. Body of Christ given for you.
You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Peace.
Please stand as you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
We have just a few announcements today. We have Easter lilies available in the narthex to dedicate for our Easter celebration coming up. And know that our Lent Wednesdays continue this Wednesday evening with dinner at 5:30 and with a worship gathering around this idea of the dark night at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Our bulletin and our e-news and the happenings in the pewbacks are full of things going on here at Abiding Love. It's a rich and full time in our church. And know this, that at times when you are at odds with yourself and the world and wrestling in those dark nights, God is more present than you may even imagine. And God will bless you and keep you. God will make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. God will look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the cross of Christ, I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of a sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me, though it glows with peace and joy. When the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love upon my way, from the cross the radiance beaming adds more luster to the day. Pain and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide.
We go forth together. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with each other as we leave.